This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Seattle huddling up. Down four, but on the verge of the lead. Wilson extends the hands he has. Pass. Wilson, quick throw. And it's
good.
Intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the throw.
No way.
And the Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go in Super Bowl 49 with a four-point lead over the Seahawks.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
It's called Halo.
Line up, power, block it, touchdown. He probably would go in backwards.
The pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get your touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
Patriots didn't ask for a 32nd pick. They asked for 42 and another pick.
Malcolm Butler just runs right by on the outside, and of course, it is Malcolm Butler who thought he was going to be playing for the New Orleans Saints this year. Stephon Gilmore got paid all the money coming over from Buffalo, and Malcolm Butler will tell you straight up that it shook his confidence a little bit. He thought he was going to be the guy to get paid. Then he thought he was going to be the guy to get traded to New Orleans. None of those things happened, and here he is, the number one corner in this game.
And it's weighed on him a little bit because he's had an up-and-down year.
I'm getting tired of it, and I bet you Bill's getting tired of him reacting to plays that he's giving up and turning around and complaining and putting it on his teammates. He's in a contract year, and he's like, now he wants it on film that every time he gave up a pass. No, it's that guy's fault. It wasn't my fault.
Love it.
What's really interesting here, Malcolm Butler, hero 3 years ago in the Super Bowl, has not played a defensive snap tonight. The Patriots are telling us a coach's decision.
I don't know. They gave up on him. Yeah. It was the coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
I feel that way. What happens now, Malcolm? Unrestricted free agent?
I ain't Miss Cleo, so I can't tell the future.
Another New England Patriot going over to the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, there are a lot of people who thought that Malcolm Butler would have to sign a one-year deal after the Super Bowl fiasco, but no. He's going to end up with a five-year deal worth more than $60 million. He gets more than $30 million guaranteed.
Another great production piece by executive producer Jimmy Stewart. Filmer and Maz, 98.5 Sports Hub. Big Jim Murray in the A-hole chair today. We have Chris Gasper to my left in Maz's chair, and Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal alongside as well. We're less than an hour away from the official start of NFL free agency. A lot of moves have gone down, including Malcolm Butler to the Tennessee Titans. More on that in a second, though. I want to run through some of these calls. A lot of people have been hanging since the start of the show, because a lot has gone on with the Patriots and some big names moving throughout the NFL. So let's go to Dave in Plymouth. You're next here on Filmer and Maz. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Greg, so I agree with what you wrote and what you just said about Solder, but doesn't this up the market for Adrian Waddle? I mean, isn't he sitting there going, okay, so what, you're going to bank on Garcia next year? Like, his market just went up from maybe $1.5 million to 6 or 7, didn't it?
Well, I mean, Dave, it's a valid point. I just think that at the end of the day, he's Adrian Waddle. And he's not playing in this league for a reason. He was a backup here for a reason. And he has durability issues. I mean, he got a chance to start. He got the first chance after Cannon went down to be the starter. Started for three games. Did a pretty good job. And then he got hurt. He was hurt like the whole rest of the season. And so, you know, that should knock down his value. But, you know, look, he can play that game. He's not going to win it with the Patriots. I mean, they're going to stay to what they believe his value is, and I'm sure they're going to value him as a backup, possibly a right tackle starter, that sort of area. So you're talking, you know, $3 to $4 million, I think. You know, so I think that's where they are.
More on the Patriots offensive line from John in Arlington. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. You got to realize that there's five guys in front of Brady every game, sometimes six when Gronk is playing tight. If these guys don't do their job, witness to all this is when Brady gets picked up off the ground after so many plays last year. And you got to realize, too, that every holding penalty on Tooney and Solder last year was because they couldn't contain the guy legally. Okay? Now, all the guys that got through and pressured, 74 pressures according to Bedard, what about the times he gets knocked down after the play? I mean, just the momentum. I mean, Solda, what's the big deal? Let him go. Now we got to draft somebody. The draft is in 3 or 4 weeks. Let's do it, huh? Thanks, guys.
Is it thin particularly at that position? I've heard that tackle isn't strong in this year's draft.
Well, it's definitely not strong at the top of the draft, but I think there's decent depth.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Who was the guy that you mentioned?
Colton Miller?
Colton Miller, yeah. From UCLA. I just ran Bob McGinn's sort of post-combine top 60. And when I was going through the offensive line, because I was looking for tackles, and I put a picture of Colton in there on purpose, because when I read that and I looked at him a little bit, I was like, he's the Patriots type of guy. He reminds me of Matt Light, who was a second-round pick. This guy's in the same sort of area. Really well thought of, could be a plug-and-play guy. I mean, you know, is he a franchise left tackle? I don't know. But he would be the type of guy, I think, that the Patriots would draft and put out there and see what happens.
Scott in Weymouth, go ahead with the Patriots thought here on Felger and Maz.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
Before I get to the Patriots' disastrous offseason, I must ask, one of you guys said, and I haven't seen Tom versus Time yet, did someone imply that Brady's I'm going to switch phones. Excuse me, really. Give me 5 seconds, buddy.
All right, I'm going to put you back on hold. So I want to go. I'll get to you, Scott. Don't hang up. I do want to ask. So we played that Malcolm Butler montage at the beginning of the hour here. He goes to the Titans, gets top corner money, 5 years, $61 million, $30 million in guarantees. That team, of course, coached by former Patriot, and perhaps, at least to me, the epitome of the Patriot way in Mike Vrabel. You also have John Robinson there, the GM, who was also a Bill Belichick disciple. Yep. There was reportedly interest from Matt Patricia in Detroit. With that money and the interest from Bill's guys, is that a further indictment that Belichick got it wrong and not playing Malcolm Butler for even one snap in Super Bowl 52? I see all of that, and it's like, well, these are Patriot guys, including Matt Patricia, who was the defensive coordinator here, and then said, oh, it was about scheme after the game. But wait a minute, you had interest in the guy? Like, the money, these guys being interested,
it doesn't add up.
It doesn't. It reeks of pettiness to me. And pettiness and stubbornness on behalf of Belichick. And it's like, nope, no, he ain't playing this whole game.
I mean, you know, look, I'm not going to discount that. And it certainly looks that way. You know, as far as Butler and, you know, Jimmy played my quote, I think that was the beginning of December, where I talked about it through the year, that I said on the show that week, and I ended up writing it for BostonSportsJournal.com, things were coming to a head with Malcolm Butler in early December. He was playing out of the concept of the defense. He was, you know, he had been looking for the ball, you know, trying to make plays, trying to get his money, trying to cash in.
He tweeted the Pro Football Focus thing after the loss in Miami, and then instantly deleted
it. Right. I remember that.
And it was just that was how many months? That's it. Sit your behind on the bench. We're playing Rowe. We're playing Jonathan Jones at slot. You're done. And did I think it was going to happen in the Super Bowl? No. But no, you can't talk about this without talking about that Malcolm Butler at times last season, a lot of times, deserved to be benched. He did. When you talk about they're all about scheme and how you play and buying into the team thing. Now, as far as the Super Bowl, I can understand how people say, well, Malcolm Butler could have been out there and made one more play, they would have won the Super Bowl. Let's also not ignore the fact that Tom Brady had the ball with 2:20 left for the chance to win the game. But to me, in that Super Bowl, you know, and I wrote about it, and, you know, Marquise Flowers, you know, we had a little, you know, a nice little Twitter experience.
That's your boy. Holler your boy, Bedard.
I mean, you know, there were a lot of questionable things on defense in that game. But to me, the bottom line with this whole defense, the whole year, you want to talk about their coverage and stuff like that? I want to talk about their pass rush. It stunk throughout the year. It was Trey Flowers, and then Dietrich Wise had some pressure, and then there was a huge drop-off. Alan Branch, you're paying how much money? Has one total quarterback pressure the whole year. They could not rush the passer, and especially in that game. And when you can't do that, I don't care who you have playing cornerback, no one's going to cover. And the Eagles took advantage, and to me, that was the name of the game.
The one thing I'll say, though, and you brought up his name, I'm glad you did, that made the Super Bowl different from December, was that they didn't have Jonathan Jones.
Yes.
And he played really well this year. And to me, that changed the equation and made it even more glaring that you didn't even give Butler a shot. Because you could give him a series, and if he's doing the stuff that you're talking about that he did all year long, and you are... you know more than I do, and you're absolutely right. Even the layman like me can look at it and be like, man, this guy is not playing the man. He's playing the ball, and that's why he keeps getting beat, because he's trying to make plays on the ball. But at that point, with no Jonathan Jones and Jordan Richards and Johnson Batamosi running around up there, like, you want to bench Malcolm Butler and roll with Gilmore Rowe and Jonathan Jones, I'm cool with that, especially the way he played against Jacksonville. It wasn't good. But with Jonathan Jones out, are you kidding me? To not even give him a shot? To me, football could not have been the primary reason he didn't play in that game. There's something else, and hopefully one day we'll find out what it is. And whatever it was, obviously, Jonathan Robinson in Tennessee and Matt Patricia in Detroit and Bob Quinn in Detroit, they're good with it. Yep. They feel like it's not a long-term issue, or they wouldn't have been interested in the player.
All right, Greg, I want to get more of your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball, where the holes are. I want you to tell us about Danny Shelton, who they made this deal for as well, coming up here on Felger and Maz. And, of course, we'll get to more of your phone calls. I know a lot of you hanging and have been for a while. So you got thoughts here as we're getting close to 45 minutes and counting to the official start of the NFL year and free agency, even though a lot of names have already gone to different teams. Tyrann Mathieu also cut today by the Arizona Cardinals, and Patriots have been linked to A.J. McCarron. Is that something else that could further expedite Tom Brady's exit from this team? So all of that coming up here on Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma
to run him right down their throat.
Felger and
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joins us for the full show today, it being the official start of the league year in the NFL. Got more than, just a little less than 40 minutes to go as free agency starts up at 4 o'clock. But we'll go right to you here at 617-779-0985 on this Patriots offseason that's felt a little bit like a dud so far. Scott in Weymouth, you're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Scott.
Yes, Jim. Sorry about that.
All good.
Ago. It's just my welcome to my world. As soon as you go to me, my phone,
craps
you
out
know, what's the bed? Yes.
This is a great phone.
Now I'm back. I sound all right now,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So here we go. I got 2 points, please. First of all, what have you said? They watched Tom vs. Time? I haven't seen it. And Tom Brady appeared to not feel appreciated at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Jim, give me 30 seconds.
Please. Go ahead.
Cry me a river. He's worth $800 million. He's making how much a year? 14?
Oh, it's going to be 20 plus
20?
This year.
Unless, whatever it is.
Well, it's 14 the base salary. Yeah, the cap hits like 22.
He doesn't feel appreciated. Maybe he should get a job pumping gas for $12 an hour. They'll definitely appreciate him there. Good looking guy with a hot girlfriend. All right, moving on. I hate hearing they don't feel appreciated. What a joke.
Well, anybody can feel not appreciated in a job, right? Even the guy you're saying pumping gas for $6 an hour. Are you saying no one has the right to feel not appreciated in a job?
The guy's got life by the balls. He's in another universe. You don't even ever complain to the people. You know who feels unappreciated? I do. When I go to Gillette and I pay $60 to park my car, $15 for a beer.
All right, Scott. What was the other point?
Oh, okay, yes. So yeah, the Pats off season is a disaster. But here's my prediction. I don't know much about their finances or the cap. I'm not privy to all that. I'm more of a hockey fan. But I have a feeling they're going to sign someone huge on defense. Everyone talks offense. Their offense is fine as long as Brady's on the center. They just need the other team not to score more than 16 points, and they'll go 14-2.
All right, so how about this, Bedard? They miss out on Aqib Talib. There was no interest reportedly in Richard Sherman. They pass on a deal for Marcus Peters. They called, did the Chiefs, according to reports. Any of those moves surprise you? And like the caller said, do you think a big move's coming on defense?
Well, I think if a big move is coming, it's coming on defense. I am not worried about the offense. I don't care what they've lost. You know, Deion Lewis was, you know, excellent at times last year. But look, at the end of the day, Deion Lewis played 35% of the snaps and averaged 13 touches a game. How much are you paying for that? I mean, it was effective and it was good, but, you know, I'm not paying very much for that. I do think that, you know, defense, the pass rush affecting the quarterback, that's where they need to be. Now, I did write that, you know, Belichick is just not going to bring the pass rush that you want. Like, that's just not the way they do things. Like, they don't want to go towards the quarterback on the edge. They want to control the edge. That's one of the focal points on their defense. I mean, basically, it's almost like a triangulation, like, between handling the nose on the interior, you know, the edge guys holding the point, and then, you know, being strong up the middle. I do think that this season might have made Belichick rethink things a little bit. Now, do I think they're going to go out and get, you know, trade for Jadeveon Clowney? You know, no. But,
oh, too bad. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know, but could I see them doing like a Sue-like move that does help in those areas? Yes, and I think one thing that people haven't really talked about that I don't think they want to hear, but it is important with what's going on in free agency with the Patriots, with these losses that they're incurring. You know, this is all going to reap them huge in compensatory picks next year. Like, they're on their way to, like, 3 or I think 4 might be the max. You know, third-round compensatory picks. We've talked about how they've lost draft capital. They need to get younger. They've gotten older, all this stuff. Every person that they sign that's a real free agent, that their contract expired, it takes away from that formula, that they don't get those compensatory picks. So I expect them not to sign anybody who's a free agent. That's why it doesn't surprise me that they're not in on some of these guys. But guys who have been released, you know, Sue, those type of guys, I think they'll be in on. But, you know, I know you were harping on cornerbacks. At the end of the day, I think they think they're fine there. I mean, they signed Stephon Gilmore. That's $13 million. They're not... That's their kitty, basically, at cornerback. They spent it. It's over, you know?
And Devin's cap hit's really high this year. It's like 11-9.
Yes, and I think that's a different subject, but I think they
I'm just saying allocation of resources for the secondary.
I was just going to say that I think they learned from their whole free agent experience with Devin McCourty about how, you know, they let him go to market, then they overpaid for him. I think there's a bit of buyer's remorse right now, and they weren't going to make the same mistake with Solder. Yeah. I mean, I think they love Devin. And he's certainly valuable there. But
to them, it's an overpay.
Probably, okay. At this point. But I think that cornerback, I think they think they're good with Gilmore, Rowe, and Jonathan Jones. And plus, you have Cyrus Jones coming back or, you know, a cornerback in the draft. I think they think they're good there.
And
I do. I just, front seven, they need an infusion of talent and athletic ability, and I think that's where they're going to look to supplement things.
So tell us about Danny Shelton, then. Is that going to free things up for maybe Malcolm Brown to be a bit more of a pass rusher rather than a run stuffer?
No, but I think that, look, they needed to get tougher on the interior. They needed to bulk up. I mean, you know, I thought their defensive line was fine this year, but I think Danny Shelton is just a guy who, you know, he's going to be – you have to double-team him on the run, but he's a two-down player. You know, how much are you going to pay for that? How valuable is that? But he's an elite run defender on the interior when his weight's okay. It's been a problem in the past. He supposedly has it under control now. But, those double teams, you have to double team Danny Shelton. Do you have to necessarily double team Malcolm Brown? I don't know. I mean, he's a good player. But now that factors in, that frees up other people. There's a certain domino effect.
And you know how Bill is, too. A lot of times it's like, you know, so last year they go out and get Cooks because they play the Falcons in that Super Bowl, and the Falcons have the speed to not let the Patriots do what they want to do, which is stretch the field horizontally, and they couldn't really challenge him vertically.
Yep.
The last game sticks in his head. And what was the last game? It's Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount and the should-have-been MVP of the Super Bowl, Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, dominating them up front and running whenever they want to run.
Yeah, that and, you know, the Patriots got caught sometimes playing like dime and things like that and, you know, Marquise Flowers rushing the quarterback at right end. I mean, there were a whole bunch of problems in that. But, yes, they got their front seven was inept in that game. And Belichick can't let that. That can't sit well with him.
Dean in Shrewsbury, you're next year on Felger and Maz with Greg Bedard.
Hi, I was wondering how much you guys thought Kraft's business relationship played in with Brady, played into him wanting to move Garoppolo.
Well, I'm sure that had to factor in some way, shape, or form, right? Like, you know, he's got to be tied to TB12 in some way, shape, or form. With, you know, they have a... They gave him the spot. You know, I have to think that he's got some sort of investment in it. So it's more than just, you know,
I think it's more
aspect.
Personal than business. You know, the fact that he's, you know, kind of like a son to him. I mean, I think Roberts even said that. That
yes.
He, like, considers him like a son. Because I know I've written stuff like, oh, you know, not, you know, respectfully saying that's, I'm sure you feel that way, but you never have to cut one of your sons. And someday you might have to cut this guy. So, but I think it's that personal relationship that they have. More than, I would say, the business side of TB12 and that other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I understand it is that, you know, Robert interceded. That, you know, Tom was not feeling respected and there was no loyalty and no security. And Robert took it upon himself to get that for Tom in the only way that he knew how. And Jimmy Garoppolo ended up in San Francisco.
Stephen Holyoke, you're next here on Felger and Maz.
Hi, guys. I'd like to change the topic for a second.
Sure.
First, I have to say, in Super Bowl era, they say it's harder to win championships. I have two arguments for that. One being the talent spread across 32 teams, and quarterbacks were protected, are protected more. Here's what I'm getting at. I did a little research. Bart Starr is 6-0. Could I just say this?
Go ahead.
He's 6-0 in world championships. Why isn't he in the argument for GOAT for a quarterback?
I shouldn't even have mentioned
Greg, you worked in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Why isn't Bart Starr in the conversation?
Bart Starr's not even recognized as the best quarterback in Packers history among Packers fans. It's mostly Favre. I mean, it's just because it's a different era. I mean, you look at those, you know, you look at those Lombardi teams, you know, from their offensive line to the defense, like, you know, Bart Starr was just sort of like a guy who, you know, kept the ship moving in the right direction. I mean, that's sort of the way he's viewed, and you know, it's just a different era. You know, you had the running game, the run to daylight. Yeah. Now it's, you know, the quarterback's got to do the deal.
While we got you here, I do want to ask you about some of the quarterbacks that have found new homes throughout the league and this guaranteed contract for Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. We'll touch on that. And it's been rumored that the Patriots could be in on A.J. McCarron, who's one of the names that's still out there here, as we're now a half hour away from the official start of the league year in the NFL. And Marshall Hook's going to get you caught up here in the latest in the league here in the Hub headlines. And back with Greg Bedard here on Felger and Maz right after this, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The
Sports Hub.
The 3-year fully guaranteed contract is something that I love. I love the fact that if Kirk Cousins and Mike McCartney, his agent, are pushing for this, it's a good sign for other players looking into the future, because they should want to try to sign fully guaranteed deals. They should want that protection. I think ultimately that defines a true investment by the team, because now they've actually got him for 3 years. They're on the hook for it. And if they want to get away from that deal, it's going to cost a lot of money. And as far as, you know, Kirk Cousins, and if he gets hurt or injured, he's still protected. So I think he can play a little bit more freely and not necessarily worry about that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I think if the Vikings can get Kirk Cousins and that's all they do in free agency, that'd be enough to help them be a legitimate contender in the NFC.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Big Jim Murray and Chris Casper in for the guys today alongside Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Also got Marshall Hook in as well, chiming in and giving you the Hub headline. So that's former quarterback Brady Quinn, Greg, on SiriusXM NFL Radio yesterday, talking about Kirk Cousins signing this deal with the Minnesota Vikings. The deal, reportedly 3 years, worth approximately $84 million, fully guaranteed. Not something you typically see in the NFL. Is this good or bad for the league?
Well, I think it's good. I mean, it's certainly good for the players. I mean, the hope is that this is sort of starts the trickle-down effect, that all of a sudden these guys that have, you know, leverage ask for this. They should. I mean, look what goes on in basketball and baseball and all this stuff. Now, one thing that people haven't talked about, and, you know, this is a weapon that the NFL owners have used, it's Article 26, Section 9 of the CBA. It basically says that any deferred guaranteed money, the NFL team has to write a check right then and put it into escrow. This was put in the 60s when NFL teams weren't exactly solvent, you know, that they could go under, and it was done to protect the player, that their money was going to be there at a certain point. It was always going to be there. You know, now, since then, since the, you know, the boon of the NFL, now the owners use it against the players. That they should just say, well, I can't cut a $100 million check. Like, you know, it screws up our cash flow and this and that, which we all know is a bunch of BS. But, you know, the hope is, I mean, at least, you know, give the Wilfs credit in Minnesota that they say, you know what, we're okay with that. You know, if this is what we have to do to be okay at the quarterback position, we're going to do it. I wonder now if the Wilfs and others are going to push for the elimination of that rule. It should not be in there.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
No. It shouldn't. And the players should be doing something, whether it's, you know, certainly in the next CBA negotiation, should be trying to get that out. But there's no reason that should be in there. And it's just another weapon that the owners use against the players.
I mean, it's good. I think it's good for the players, but I think only it's going to work out if you're a big-name player. Like, it's a good precedent.
Right.
I'd like to see more guaranteed contracts in the league. But if you're, you know, Nate Ebner, who gets his deal yesterday, or any of these other guys that are, you know, third stringers or whatnot, I don't think you're going to be getting any guaranteed contracts.
You're right, but it has to start with the quarterbacks, you know? So if Kirk Cousins gets this, then maybe Aaron Rodgers asks for it. And then at some point, there's some great offensive player, wide receiver, whatever, who says, well, I'm as valuable as a quarterback, so I want this. And that becomes, or there's a defensive player who says, you know, okay, I'm a game changer. You know, I want this guarantee. And that's how you get the ball rolling if you're the player. It has to start somewhere.
So we're about 20 minutes away from the start of the league year.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh every time you say this. Like, these deals are done.
Well, no, I know, it's funny.
Like, this is like the start of what?
But saying yesterday, like, looking at the quarterbacks, so you have Cousins go to Minnesota, Drew Brees stays in New Orleans, Teddy Bridgewater goes to the Jets, Sam Bradford signs this ridiculous deal with Arizona, Case Keenum goes to Denver, and I was sitting in here yesterday with Christian Arkin, and I was like, where's my love for A.J. McCarron, who I didn't think really got that fair of a shot in Cincinnati, nearly won the first playoff game there in 25 years, if it wasn't for Jeremy Hill fumbling and Vontaze Burfict losing his mind. And now there's a story out today that the Patriots reportedly offered him a contract. Would McCarron be a good fit here? And looking forward, when Brady does walk, would he be the answer going forward?
Well, I mean, absent any other solution, I guess, yeah. I mean, maybe he could be sort of like a bridge guy, but, you know, I don't think much of A.J. McCarron. I don't think he, you know, the physical traits just aren't there in my mind to be a, you know, quote-unquote franchise guy. I mean, should I think he deserves a chance to compete for a starting job somewhere, and maybe that's here post-Brady? You know, sure. And he certainly has leadership ability, and, you know, Belichick has all the information he needs from Saban and, exactly, you know, Alabama and all that stuff. So, obviously, they all think the intangibles are there, and that's great. I think that's one of the most important parts of the position, but it wouldn't preclude me from looking for, you know, a guy in the draft, because, you know, really what you'd want to do is you want to draft the next guy so you have cost controls, and that allows you to spend in other areas. And we see it with Houston right now, and, you know, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Drafting a quarterback and having those cost controls in there benefits you, you know, for a while, and I think the Patriots probably want a taste of that.
Greg, is there any chance that their interest in McCarron could say something about how they feel about this quarterback class? In other words, the idea being like, yeah, we're going to pick a quarterback, but it's maybe a more developmental guy that we're going to get in the fifth or sixth round versus somebody in the second or third round, and maybe McCarron's a guy that we can develop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that could be, and I think also it's, you know, you're just looking at, okay, maybe they give him 2 or 3 years, and, you know, maybe he's a bridge guy to whatever is really next, or, you know, maybe they really like him in the building and things like that. But, you know, I think we're just going to have to see. I mean, I don't think anybody out there thinks A.J. McCarron is definitely the next guy, or else somebody would have offered him a contract by now.
Yeah, but I would think, and this is just me, my opinion here, if I'm the Patriots and I'm, you know, am I dying to upgrade from Brian Hoyer? Or am I saying, like, okay, there's something here with McCarron. He maybe could be a starter. We'd like to work with him.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think they're interested in him unless they think there's a chance he could, like, they know Hoyer is not the guy.
Right.
He's not the next guy. And maybe with McCarron, they think there's like a 15% chance he could be the next guy, but we'd like to work with you and see that. I just don't think that they are making this offer because they're like, oh my God, we have to upgrade backup quarterback. Like, it goes back to when they drafted Garoppolo and people were arguing Garoppolo was a replacement for Ryan Mallett. No, Garoppolo was drafted because Bill was like, and Bill said it at the time, we all know Tom's agent contract situation. They looked at this guy and said, this guy could potentially be our starting quarterback. You know, that when you make an investment like that. And I sort of feel the same thing with McCarron, not to that same level as Garoppolo, but they wouldn't be interested. They wouldn't be making this offer if they didn't think he had the opportunity or the chance to develop into a starting caliber quarterback.
I mean, considering the guaranteed money, though, that's gone to guys like Brock Osweiler and Mike Glennon, I have to think it would be a decent chunk of guaranteed money. And if I'm Tom Brady, this would be something else that would piss me off, because wait a minute. Like, the cupboard's getting bare here with some offensive players that I would like to have had back, like Danny Amendola, and you sign a backup to a deal here where we still have a lot of holes on this team? Like, this feels like something, if it were to happen, this is something else to further piss
off
Tom Brady.
If you're, I mean, to play this game, to have fun with this game, like, if you're Bill, can't you just say to Tom, well, I don't know, it seems like you might not be coming back. Seems like you don't have the conviction, Tom. I need a quarterback with the conviction to play, so we're just covering ourselves here. Couldn't you say that to him?
Sure. Yeah, and it will further the tumultuous thing going on there behind the scenes, which still, Bill.
I mean, one thing with Bill,
still hasn't come close.
Bill never
fixed.
Wants to be caught, and he even commented, you know, I know Reese uses this quote all the time when he talked about what happened to the Colts when Peyton Manning got, he never wants to be in that situation where they just are, the cupboard is totally bare at quarterback, because he knows how important that position is and you have no shot. So on the off chance, the 2% chance that Brady retires, don't you want to make sure, like, Brian Hoyer's a nice guy, he's one of the nicest guys in the world, but you're not going to the playoffs. Like, that's not happening.
15 minutes from the start of the new league year and NFL free agency, even though it feels like all the moves have already been made. But still, yeah. We got the clock going. We got the counter going down here on the simulcast.
The tick down to moves
sponsor.
That we already know have happened. How exciting.
But it all becomes official in less than 15 minutes. All right. Long commercial free segment coming up next, and right to your phone calls here on Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
I don't care. Put anybody back there. You do good there. All right? But, they're decent backs in their own right. But I don't think we're going to focus on that kid. I can't even tell you the kid's name.
Quick throw left. Again, Lewis leaps to make the grab. He makes a man miss. He runs across the 40-yard line, and Deion hurdles another defender before he's spun down at the 31 of Buffalo.
Nice play, kid. If you're in the Buffalo coaching booth, you want to tell Rex Ryan number 33's name is Deion Lewis.
Quick snap to Brady. Give to Lewis. Hop, step right. Throw a hole. Deion Lewis with a first down and more.
Kid.
Inside the 10. And collar down from behind at the 7.
Deion Lewis, number 33. That's the name, Rex. You're going to have nightmares watching this film.
Do you regret something that you didn't know Deion Lewis's name this week?
That's the reason we lost. Go ahead. I still don't know his name. Next time, run the ball.
Deion Lewis waits to our right on a kick that forces him to scramble left, fielding from the 3. Across the 10, right to the 15. Stays left for the 20. Cuts it back right at the 30.
Go.
Lewis to the 35-40. Deion trying to get outside of the 50. Outrunning the Texans down the right side of the 25-20. Goodbye! Deion Lewis takes it to the house!
What?
Touchdown, Patriots!
Now it's a party! 99 yards! By number 33, and the roof just came off.
Is there any chance you're going to be back in New England, Deion?
We'll see. It's a business. I love it here.
Deion Lewis was valued more elsewhere.
Another nice piece of production put together by executive producer Jimmy Stewart here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. No Felger, no Mazz. You get Big Jim Murray here alongside Chris Gasper, and it being the official start of NFL free agency in less than 10 minutes. We have Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal joining us for the duration of the show. So Deion Lewis goes to the Titans along with cornerback Malcolm Butler yesterday. That game in Tennessee next season certainly just got a lot more interesting. Greg, how much are the Patriots going to miss Deion Lewis's contributions next season?
Well, I mean, certainly they're going to miss him. But, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, we're talking about a guy that played 35% of snaps and had like 13 touches a game. you know, they'll draft a couple guys, and you know, and that we've seen them do it before with, you know, Vereen and who was the other guy that they drafted that year?
Stephen Ridley.
Ridley, I mean, you know, they've done this before. I think we've seen that Belichick does not value running backs. He thinks they're largely plug and play, you know, outside of when he needs, you know, a big back to get things done. I think that's an area where the Patriots need to get better. I think they ranked really low in terms of 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 conversions. And so, you know, I expect them to be in on some sort of big back at some point. But, you know, look, Deion Lewis was tremendous. And, you know, he brought a burst and a vision to that position that they haven't had in some time, and certainly gave them a boost. But I think the Patriots look at it as a lot of positions on offense where they can figure things out.
I can live with this one. I didn't expect him to be back, especially at that number. He was excellent last year, but I think that they got the best out of him. Like, he's such a durability concern, too, that are you going to get another full season out of Deion Lewis? You know, I can live with that one. And plus, it's a deep running back draft, too. And I know you love Sonny Michelle,
who
could go in, what, the 2nd round, 3rd round?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know how people are stacking their boards, but, you know, probably a 2nd round guy. The one thing with Lewis, though, in terms of letting him go and what I did like about him, you're right about the durability and all that other stuff, but one of their issues the year before was they were really predictable based on who was in the game. And it was like, oh, James White's in the game, so it's like, okay, they might run, but we're not really worried about it. Oh, LeGarrette Blount's in the game? They're not throwing the ball to this guy, and if they do, we don't care. And so with Deion out there, I thought that they were less predictable in terms of what they're going to do when the running back was in the game. And I think that I don't want to see them go back to where it's just really, really predictable. You know, James White, and I know he had the touchdown run in the Super Bowl, but I thought that play was blocked extremely well. you know, I still think when James White is in the game that most teams are like, they're going to pass, or we have to worry about this guy as a receiver, not really as a runner.
Let's go to Tom and Bill Ricco with a Patriots thought here on the start of free agency today. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, with the Garoppolo fiasco and then Tom being made to throw 550 yards and four touchdowns to win the Super Bowl, then getting rid of Solder, how do you feel, how much do you think Belichick is on board with the Brady decision going forward in keeping him on the field playing for as long as he can, and how much do you think Jonathan Kraft is going to put up with? Because I feel that Belichick blames Brady a bunch and is ripping mad.
Greg, in a perfect world, for Bill Belichick, that is, would Tom Brady be the starting quarterback in 2018?
I think he wanted the opportunity to think about it this offseason. I mean, you know, whether it would have been tough. Look, he was reigning MVP. I still think the plan was to franchise tag Garoppolo and trade him under the tech.
Why did that happen?
Why?
Yeah. Why was that nixed?
Because the tag number would have been more than what Brady's making this year, right? Like,
but who cares? But you're going to trade him. They did the same thing with Castle.
Right.
I remember when Castle got franchised in 08, I was on the beat. I remember seeing Castle at the Super Bowl, and we were laughing. And we're like, ha-ha, you're making more than Tom now. And he laughed about it. So they've done it before.
Right. I mean, you know, even if things went bad with the tag, say you tagged him, and starting with the league the year, you needed $25 million. You know, you would have to have that as soon as the clock strikes four. But you would have known during the tampering period, and I'm sure they could have went to the 49ers late last season and say, look, here's the plan. We're going to tag Garoppolo. I think he'd be perfect for you guys. All that stuff, what will you give us? You know, you go to certain teams like you do, and you work it out, and then as soon as the clock strikes four, you deal him, you get that $25 million back on your cap. That's the way things work. And the thing is, what you know, and I've heard people you know, say, well, no, they couldn't have done it. You know, I do not entertain any of the keeping him under the tag for the whole year, 2018. That was never going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. But tagging him, trading him was viable. You know, I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, somebody said that we're just not doing that. And I think it was because the stuff that we've talked about, the, you know, Brady, Garoppolo's looking over his shoulder. I have no contract extension. They're busting my chops about Alex Guerrero. Like, you know, here I am in what year, you know, I'm 40 years old. I have to deal with this stuff. Like, what have I done to deserve this type of treatment? Basically, anything that you guys have wanted for this franchise, I've done. And I'm still getting my chops busted at this point. I mean, like, I think Brady was really ticked off, and I think someone interceded and you know, made sure at least Tom had some security that the other option wasn't there. But I think that Bill, look, the other thing with this whole tag and trade thing, Belichick always looks down the road, right? He knows what he's going to do. So he's not entertaining any trades in the offseason. I mean, the teams that I talked to, they're like, we couldn't even make an offer. We're not listening. So they're not listening. They're going to keep him. What would have happened if Brady got hurt last year? And say Garoppolo played the balance of the season, they go in the what would they have done? They would have tagged him and traded him.
Yeah,
or they would have
traded Brady.
Right. Yeah. They would have done one or the other. So Belichick had something in mind. It wasn't trade Jimmy at the trade deadline. That was late in the equation.
Let's go to Pat in the car on this Patriots offseason. You're next here on Felger and Maz with Greg Bedard. Hey, Pat.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Excellent. How's the phone? Crappy? Good? We good?
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Be that guy. Excellent. So aside from the crazy QB carousel that's going on, I would be thanking my lucky stars if I was A.J. McCarron, not because of the Patriot talk, but because of last season when Cleveland, the dummies that they are, didn't call the league office in time and called it like 4-2. I'm like, oops, we didn't get him in time for the deadline, huh? That sucks. But anyway, I wanted to touch upon what Bedard and Gasper were saying earlier. I think the offense is going to be fine once Jules comes back. I think the knee, you know, he's a tough, gritty guy. I think he'll be all right. I'm more worried about the defense. I'm surprised we got as far as we did last year, honestly. excuse me.
All right, Pat, on that, I'm going to let you go. Hopefully you work on that cough. And I'd be thanking my lucky stars if I was A.J. McCarron, because every night I lay down my head and I get to look at Catherine Webb as my wife. Like, he's he's living a charmed life, even if he hasn't latched on with a team just yet. But the Patriots, according to Some sources have been linked to A.J. McCarron. Okay, we've hit it. It's official. We've now we've hit the start of 2018 NFL free agency, and seemingly all the moves have already happened, Chris.
Yeah, it's the most anticlimactic thing in sports.
But maybe there's more shoes to be dropped here, especially as it pertains to the Patriots. But the big one today, Nate Solder is gone. We'll reset there. Take more of your phone calls and your thoughts on the left tackle going to the New York Giants. But hey, if you're into special teams moves, boy, have the Patriots had a barn burner of an offseason so far. We got Greg Bedard alongside for the duration of the show, and you at 617-779-0985. No commercials here. Marshall Hook is going to get you caught up with the latest going on throughout the NFL. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub.